This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We hope you had a good weekend. It was a good weekend for Atlanta United as they move on in the playoffs, which is an amazing story. We'll certainly dive into that. It was not a good weekend for Georgia. It was a great weekend for Georgia Tech, and it was not a good weekend for our Falcons. Because, Mike, we started off slow. 26 yards of offense in the first quarter. And when you talk about why we lost this game, I know many of you are going to say, well, let me tell you something. The kicker let us down. You can tell me everything you want about every other part of this football game. Mm-hmm. 9 points left off the board by our kicker. And when you talk about being in position to score, where we had a chance to punch it in, first and goal from their five, we get two back-to-back penalties, we get pushed back 20 yards. That turned into a field goal instead of a touchdown. That's another six. But it was mistakes, Mike, and blown opportunities. And somebody tell me what's going on with Younghoe Koo. Mike just told me his percentage from last year is down. Somebody tell me what's happening with Younghoe Koo.
16%, man. He was at his height when he got in, sort of secured the job when he came in 19 midseason. He's been around 94%, 93% in the last 2 years, 86%, 32 of 37 on his field goals. That's great last 2 years. That's why he's been Pro Bowl level. This year, though, something's wrong. 70-point, and it started last year, too. He started wobbling in some big moments last year. Just, you know, the season wasn't obviously as dramatic as this is now. But the big problem is for him is 9 out of 10, 9 out of 11 the last 2 years in the 40 to 49-yard range. Mm. And this year he's at 50%, 3 of 6. And I was down there in Tampa. There was no breeze in Tampa. There was nothing to affect a kick. And you're indoors. I don't mind if you're outdoors in cold weather. Carl, you're indoors. There's no, you should never miss those kicks. And so, Koo, a tight game, a division game, comes down to the field goal kicker. Coach is going to say, hey, man, shouldn't have come down to that. Well, in some of the tight games, Carl, it does come down to the kicker, and he's been terrible.
He was terrible. Flat out. You outrush these guys, right? 181 yards. If I told you we run for 181, come on. If I told you we owned overall yardage, 468 to 365. If I told you all these things that we said, hey, if we do this, we'll win the game. Well, that's what should have happened. And instead, because we missed those three field goals. Now, again, he had one block, but three missed. That's 9 points, guys.
Right.
That's the difference in this football game. 404-726-0929. Now, what does it leave us, Mike? Am I completely disappointed? No. As I told Saint fans over the weekend, still first place. We're still in first place.
Right.
But these are the ones that you go, this is what a playoff game is going to look like, Mike. And are we going to fold up like this in a playoff game? Now, Kirk Cousins, no touchdowns yesterday. He threw the pick late. I get it. He's trying to make a play. But I'll say this about Younghoe Koo. And you know, we've been very generous to him because he's been great. But, Mike, I think he's too comfortable. I think you might need to bring in some competition. This is a playoff team, guys. We have Super Bowl aspirations. This is not some fluke or joke. I need him to be completely focused. I don't know what's going on, but usually with the kicker, Mike, it's in between your ears. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with his ability. So I'm telling you right now, if that's what we need to do up there at Flowery Branch, let's do it.
I mean, every kicker goes through some weirdness or some kind of like the yips in golf. One of our greatest kickers, and we're friends with him really tight, him and his wife, and that's Matt Bryant. 1 year in 2015, Matt Bryant dropped down to 77%. He was usually around 88 or higher. And he had 1 year that was a little funky for him by his, you know, pretty high standards. But even then, he was 14 of 18. You know, in this case, Koo's had a high standard, and we compare him to Matt Bryant, but Matt Bryant's never had a patch like this. And this is one where, as we said, you've got to convert. Look, a number of things. Kirk Cousins was not accurate to start the game. You just touched on those rushing stats. I thought Zach Robinson was too pass dependent. I think we could have continued to run the ball. I think we could have used the screens and even some wheel routes and just get the ball to Bijan in the flat. Because anytime he touched the ball, I mean, he was making plays. Pitts had an amazing catch. Just when you think, okay, the playmakers are getting involved, Drake was making hard catches over the middle out of his sort of Puka Nacua East, the way we're using him. So things are on a roll, and then the penalties. And look, I'm not going to get on McGarry. It's just strangeness how Bijan Robinson literally gets tangled up in McGarry's legs, and then Cam Jordan gets his only sack of the freaking year.
Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal. That was brutal.
It was. And by the way, when Matt Bryant was struggling, Mike, he was like 42.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He was like 40 years old.
Different dynamic.
Correct. I mean, I the stats are there, but let's put it in perspective. Matt Bryant played for like 20 years. At that point in his career, in 2017, he's 42 years old.
He was 34, 37, 91% the year we went to the Super Bowl. From bouncing back from an off year in 15, and 15 was a bad Falcons team, 500 team.
All right, Chris, I know you got a lot going on. Turtle is behind the glass. O is off today. He's handling all the things. Can we put a quick poll up about Young Weiku? Want to know how you're feeling. And again, I'm not a prisoner of the moment. Mike is right. Go back to last year. And the irony to all of this is Friday I said to Mike, I said, you worried about Young Weiku? And we both kind of did the shoulder shrug.
Right.
We'll be okay. And I'll be damned, we go into this game where we need these points and we can't get them. Where your team plays well enough to win and it comes down to this. 404-726-0929. Hit us up. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up. See Dukes, the radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. And follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on.
And it's like anything else, any other position. Look, you know, we all know it. I mean, you know, kickers, everyone kind of shrugs or rolls their eyes. Or you have one thing to do. You've got one job. But Koo has been so good at hitting the long kicks. That's why, you know, we're so used to seeing him being money. And now in the NFL, the trend is everybody hits over 55. That used to be like, oh, that's a 1 in 5 shot. Now everybody's hitting long kicks. And it's just really frustrating that he's missing those, what would be, by his standards, intermediate, the 40 yards and plus, and that's where he's struggling right now.
All right, big plays in this game. We had a bunch of them. But the thing that also hurt us, guys, we don't give up explosive plays. How much have we been preaching that all year, Mike? Marquez Valdez. Who? Marquez. This guy, I didn't even know he was still in the league.
Right. And by the way, I'm not going to question Jimmy Lake and all that. We can talk to Coach on Wednesday up at Flowery Branch. But, you know, is he identified as the best wide receiver on the team? Because now the good news is they did get A.J. Terrell on him, you know, later in the second half. And that stuff went away. The problem was, you know, you had no pass rush begets one Mississippi, two Mississippi. Yep. And now this guy's like a gazelle and he's streaked behind our best defenders. And he's wide open. And then on the other play, you got some pre-snap motion. We'll talk to Coach about that. And that got A.J. Terrell looking somewhere he wasn't supposed to, and that created the second Scandling touchdown.
Yeah, I was blown away. The first explosive play, I was like, all right. Second one, I was like, are you serious right now? Then he scores?
Right.
I mean, dude had 3 catches for 100 yards on the day, and one of those was a touchdown. Nevertheless, explosive plays hurt us early. And then the Honey Badger, man. You know, listen, we love our safeties. Every now and then, and Tyrann Mathieu still got it, and he showed up big for them late with that pick. We had chances even at the end, guys, of this football game, and I think that's what bothers Kirk Cousins so much. Mike, we had that chance to go down right and finish this game. And I'm feeling good about it because we've seen it happen earlier in the season.
Look, Kurt is a gambler. He's a risk taker. He's trying to throw it through the middle. But unfortunately, Honey Badger's sitting on it. And Drake would have had to have laid out like Superman to make that catch. Meanwhile, Pitts was underneath. And Cousins either was locked on Drake or didn't see Cousins because that moves the chains probably too. But that basically – and then, of course, the strip sack fumble, as you like to say. But this is, to me, it's the Saints can still get after the quarterback and we can't. One team gets heat on the quarterback. One team doesn't. And the heat on the quarterback ultimately decided the game. Right?
That's it did.
Jake Matthews is going to run back 20 yards and fall in a fumble.
No, it did, Mike. And you know what? Chase, we talked about this. What's Chase Young? Chase Young, that sack, that was huge. You talked about the Cam Jordan. Those are the difference-making plays in this game. What do you guys think? Still feel good about our football team. Don't misunderstand us. But this one hurts because you shouldn't have lost this game.
Right.
You put yourself in position to score points, whether it was field goals or being touchdowns. You didn't get it done, and now you left points on the board. And we always say this. When you do that, at the end of these games, it always comes back to bite you. 2017 final score, you lose by three.
And the other thing is, and this is what drives me crazy, but it is what it is in Atlanta. You're always going to have people that are like, you know, arms crossed, Carl.
Yeah, whatever. Falcons. I'll believe it when I see it.
It's a good football team. There's a lot of teams in the same exact boat as us.
Yes.
Okay, with the exception of the Dallas Cowboys, who are just, I mean, a god-awful mess, and the Jets, who are also a god-awful mess. Every other game was close. Every other game came down with 10 points or less or one possession or less because it's the NFL. You know that. But this is one where you look at this team and you say, now I'm today on social media. Look. Yeah, I get it. We need pass rush. We didn't address it. We need to come up with something. And this might be the story of this year that's going to keep us from maybe doing more in the playoffs. We're still a playoff team. We'd have to have one of the greatest colossal collapses to not win this division. That puts us in the playoffs.
Yeah, totally agree. Let's hear from Kirk Cousins, by the way, just talking about the offense. Because as disjointed as it was, the way it started and then how we got things going in the second half, by the way, that's called coaching. The adjustments made in the second half allowed us to open this thing up more, and I'm with Mike. I would have ran the ball more. I mean, we were having a lot of success there. Here's Kirk Cousins talking about the offense having has not played well. It is Monday, Veterans Day. Mike and I are here. We're here for you because it is a Falcon Monday as well. We're going to talk plenty about the Dogs. Do not worry. I know many of you are like, fellas, what y'all think? We're going to tell you. Georgia Tech. Coach Brent Key is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. And look, we're fans of Brent Key, but I'm telling you right now, and I've been saying this everywhere I can, he's building this the right way, and you see it. They are competitive. They've been in these big games, and then to have a top five team come in and be able to win like they did, Mike, at home, it speaks volumes about where Brent and this program is, and I think it's only going to get better, but can't wait to talk to him in the 5 o'clock hour because that was a hell of a win. And a big shout-out again to Atlanta United. Atlanta!
United! And again, so funny, we said this on Friday's show, all these Spanish legends, you know, and some of the biggest names in soccer who play for Inter are just like, What do you mean? Go home? This playoff thing is so strange. No, like, in their defense, in Europe, if you score the most points, you have the most goals, you're top of your league, you win, that's it.
It's over.
You know, English Premier League, you win, you know, get the most points, no one can catch you, break out the trophy, put the scarves on, have fun. Here we have a playoff. Americans love a playoff. And, hey, it's the greatest soccer upset since, like, no, MLS isn't the oldest league in the world, Carl, but it's the biggest upset in the history of MLS.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. It was incredible. I actually was down at the arena, and I said this to Mike Conti. There were people around us there that were just like, hey, the match is tied. Right. And I was like, Atlanta United? Because, you know, nobody was it was like on your phone. And that I will say this. This is the beauty of these phones. Like, there are bad things about your phones, right? Spending too much time on it, ignoring the people you love, etc. But, Mike, like, those situations where everybody at the same time, bloop, 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 is getting notices and you're starting to see Atlanta United's winning.
Right.
Everybody started losing their mind. So it was really cool because that is that connecting thing we talk about in sports.
Right.
Where you're at another event, which was a Hawks game, and then all of a sudden everybody's talking about Atlanta United.
And it's just a really, really cool vibe. We're going to get into it more in Guy Talk at about 4:40. But I just think they've gone through the big-name coaches over the years. What does Rob Valentino have to do to get the interim taken off?
I think he just got the job.
He's over five. I had a guy today say, don't be prisoner of the moment. Prisoner of the moment? It's the greatest upset in MLS history with a roster which is still not even close to being together. They basically tore the thing apart, built it down to the studs, tried to bring some guys on the fly. This guy got him in the playoffs with a 10% chance, and then just had the greatest upset. And there's some other name who'll come in here, completely blow up this system. It makes no sense. We've been through the big name coaches and the big egos.
Yep.
Let's just stick with Rob Valentino for crying out loud.
I'm being honest. I hope he gets a job now.
Me too.
I mean,
he's
seriously
a good dude, and I think he's earned it. I really do. You know, remember who was it? Steve Fisher, the year he took Michigan to the Final Four in '89.
That's right.
And everybody was like, "No, I'm not so sure about this." He just kept winning and doing things that the previous coach couldn't do. And to me, you know. And I think he's earned it. But we'll get into it later.
404-726-0929. You can text us as well. Poll question up, Turtle. We're good about Younghoe Koo. What's it say? Tell me what it's up, because I know people want to talk about this, because that is where I'm at today. That game finished yesterday. And the only thing I was upset about wasn't the effort. No, we showed up. Second half adjustments were in the game. The points we left off the board. That if you just make two of these field goals, we win the game.
Yeah, and this is something that we saw down in Tampa. If he makes his kick down in Tampa, we're not sweating that one. This is, look, these are big moments. These are divisional games. So yes. I know that the coach, and look, I'm not trying to dog out Coach Ra, because he's going to respect and he's going to protect all of his players. And he's going to say that it shouldn't have come down. Well, it's a playoff. It's a playoff type atmosphere in New Orleans. Every time we're down there, it comes down to one possession, and that's the field goal kicker. And this guy,
Mike, we
is
beat him
shaky.
We beat him by two at home. We just lost by three. That's this game. That's what this game is. And to not say, well, it shouldn't be that way, this is what it's going to be. Turtle, what's the poll question?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. What should the Falcons do with Younghoe Koo? I gave you three options. Cut him now, 21% so far. Give him one more game, 38%. Mm. Or stick with him the rest of the year, 41%. A lot of heated comments so far already. Yeah. Go check him out at DukesofBell929. And a lot of people are saying, just bring in some competition.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. But I mean, as we say, we were joking around with Bradley Pinion, who's the punter, and basically these guys are all kind of, I joked around like smoking a cigarette on the side while everybody else is practicing. But again, no one understands it because only so few people do it and understand the psychology of it. And Vance, I know you and me go, you got one freaking job.
One
this
job.
Is your job. And you're indoors. You're supposed to make these. The one thing about Koo, just real quick, we were talking off the air, Carl and I. If you do go down this road and you think about replacing Koo, it's a rogues gallery of other guys who lost their job because they went through the same crap Koo is.
No, it is true.
And whether they're like 38 years old or whatever, you've got these sad sacks who come in and maybe they work, maybe they don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sorry to say sad sack, but you know what I mean. There's nothing sadder and sackier than a retread kicker.
It's true. No, and here's the deal, too. Many of you yesterday weren't worried about the kicker until you were worried about it.
Right.
Like, we never talk about Koo because he has been consistent. Has he won big games for us? Yes. But at the end of the day, we're on a different trajectory right now, and we got to win these games. We cannot clown around and leave points on the board. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's get to the daily download. I don't want to.
Story number one.
I don't want to tell you guys that we started slow, but guess what? We started slow. Mm-hmm. 26 yards of offense in the first quarter. That's not getting it done. So Ra was asked after the game about this again.
You know, you don't get the results you want, but obviously they outplayed us today. They came out with the increased urgency we talked about. It took us too long to get started. We got going and thought we had a chance to close that game, but they made plays at the end of the game to win it, and they deserved it. Great job by those guys.
Took too long for us to get going.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Kurt, especially on some of those things, those passes out to the flat, he was overthrowing Darnell Mooney.
Yep.
And Mooney was, now some were the really tough throws. There was a couple of them where Kurt, man, he throws into some freaking tight windows, and he usually gets it there. We talked about the interception at the end. But Kurt, I think he would admit, Kurt was not at his level of sharpness we expect.
I don't disagree, Mike. And the Falcons, by the way, after this loss, you know, you say, all right, we'll regroup. Listen, this road trip to Denver, I don't know if you guys saw the Denver-Kansas City game yesterday. Denver was in that game. It's what they expected to do against the Ravens, but mm-hmm. they went east, got blown out, came back, and, Mike, they're playing well. I am not counting them out of this game at all. Earlier in the year, it was like, oh, rookie quarterback, blah, blah, blah. Their defense is playing really good.
And in his own way, I get little flashbacks for what we've seen in the past from Falcons. Now, mostly it's the ghosts of the 2003 season, but I can see Bo Nix moving around in that pocket buying time and guys getting open. Jalen Hurts did it to us earlier in the year, and we found a way to win. But I'm a little scared about going to Mile High. They got a good pass rush, and they got Nix looking good.
Coming up in 3 minutes.
Oh, does the fact that we didn't do anything at the trade deadline, is it now coming home to roost? Mike, we'll talk about that coming up. UGA, they're not out of the college football playoff, but they could be. And the fact of the matter is, right now, and this is why a lot of UGA fans were upset with me this weekend,
mm-hmm.
they're not that good. You have to own it. You have to say it and just accept it. It's not that they can't win. It's not that they might not end up where we expect, but they're not as good as they were. And the standard of what we thought this was going to be and what it is are two different things. That was total domination by Ole Miss over the weekend.
Yeah, and I'm watching this game and you're saying, wait a minute, what the heck? You know, we talked about how it started. You know, you get the Jackson Dart interception. You get the you drive right down the field. Jackson Dart, by the way, limping off the field like he's done. You know, I like to get whatever he's got from my ankle, shoot it up, tape it up, because he comes back out there. Even the backup's able to execute. They go down the field. Secondary looked lost. I don't know. I mean, I've never seen a Kirby Smart Georgia secondary just give up that kind of spacing or mismatch. Whatever it was bad. Guys were just running for miles and miles after the catch.
It really was bad.
Story number two.
If I gave you this stat line and said, hey, these two teams play, Georgia Ole Miss, 5 sacks, 9 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, and a pick, who would you say won that game? You would just think it would be Georgia. Those are the stats of the Ole Miss defense, Mike, and how dominant they were in this game. And as far as Carson Beck is concerned, it's in between his ears. It's not his ability. It's in between his ears. He only threw for 186, but this was bigger than him. Kirby said, I'm not here to take shots at my guy after the game, and I get that. But the fact is, Mike, I'm watching these difference makers over the weekend. Let me give you one. Jalen Milroe put the damn team on his back and went into LSU at night and beat him again. I'm watching these difference makers around college football say, I've got this. He doesn't have it.
Hell, you go a mile and a half that way. Haynes King with one good arm was able to do it. And Philo. I mean, talk about the drop. We'll get into that coming up later. But Georgia Tech, Haynes King comes in literally like, seriously, off of the bench, being banged up, and is able to execute and run and run. And Miami had no answer for it. But you're right. And I heard Randy Mack mention this, and Andy Randy. The Georgia wide receivers are so meh. They're just so not – they're not next level. And Ole Miss always has good skill position guys. That's kind of been their calling card. But it's just – look, Georgia can still get in this thing, get into the playoff, and make a run. But it just doesn't pass the eye test. That's as bad as they looked in the LSU loss or the Georgia loss to Alabama in 21 in the SEC championship. They just got outplayed. And how about the times you've seen the video, the memes now, where the entire Ole Miss defensive front is in the backfield? Woo! I mean, I thought Georgia had – I get it. You don't have the depth you have, but even the guys that are supposed to be the 5-stars aren't getting the job done.
No, and Mike, there have been a few games like this, but people haven't talked about it. Kentucky was one of them. They did the same thing. And we talked about injuries on the O-line. No, they weren't blocking anybody. And then you get into the Alabama game, and all of a sudden it was a similar played game. When you talk about up front for Georgia, these games that they've had issues with, they've looked the same. All right. We're going to talk more with Connor Riley coming up at 4 o'clock.
Story number three.
Congratulations to Brent Key, their big win over Miami. We cannot say enough about what this looked like for Georgia Tech. Mike, we'll ask him about if this has an effect on recruiting, but I think it does. But now not only are you bowl eligible, but you beat a top 5 team for the first time in almost, what, 10 years? It's 2009, I think it was. Number 4, Virginia, was the last time you won over. You know, we were talking about Falcons not making a deal at the trade deadline. Has it come back to bite us? And this gets back to Mike wanting us to go get a pass rusher because he was adamant about it. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe we'll figure it out. We still didn't get after Carr the way we had hoped yesterday. And Mike, he was able to, again, those big explosive plays down the field, he had time to deliver the football. But, you know, I feel like we did blitz a little bit more yesterday, but then, you know, we came out of it and made some adjustments in the second half because we didn't give up those plays that we did in the first. But the fact is, the pressure was not there.
Yeah, I get it. We don't know what the asks were in these trade deadline potential deals that never went down for us or how interested they were. L'Jarius Sneed would probably cost you a 4th rounder, and then you'd go into next year's draft with like a 1st and a 2nd and then like a 7th. So it'd be, you know, not optimal. I understand that. And maybe, you know, look, no one in the organization is going to say, hey, Terry, off the record. By the way, one of my favorite moments, Bo, I used to work with a guy, Bo Bach, who's still here in town doing well. And one time we're talking, the general manager was, and we're on the radio. He goes, hey, off the record, we're on the radio.
It's not off the record.
That's really technically not off the record. But no one, but the point I'm getting to is no one's going to say, hey, we've made some big strides this year. The offense looks great. All the skill position guys are coming together. But this isn't a team that can win a Super Bowl. So we're not prepared to mortgage draft equity to go get something which probably won't get us further than maybe round 1 or 2 of the playoffs. They're never going to say that. And it's up to the fans out there to think how far we can go. I do know this. In 16, there were no expectations, and all of a sudden things just kind of all fell into place.
Yeah, and it still could. I think Kirk Cousins is right. They haven't played their best offensive game. They've had some fun ones where we got hot, like at the end where he threw for 500 yards, but – as a complete, like, offense where we've just gone out and, voop, 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 and just scored and dripped.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In the field, right. Own time of possession, like everything just fell into place. We've yet to play that game. Maybe that game comes in the playoffs. I hope it does, Mike, because that's probably when we're going to need it.
And the Saints, I mean, look, they're a tough physical team, and they still got guys who are familiar with us, divisional rival. There was a little bit of, I don't know if it was tangible or not, but there seemed like an extra little bit of juice. Certainly the coach was juiced up. He clogged the toilet in the coach's office. He talked about that. But the other thing is, just real quick, and we'll get to talk about what the coach had to say and hear what Bijan had to say. We went five quarters without an offensive touchdown against the Saints this year, which is, you know, it goes back to, you know, not executing, not doing little things. The penalties also had jumped on us.
Yeah, more on the Falcons and, you know, up, down, what do you make of it? I still think we have a really good football team. But when you're playing these division games, man, and the teams know each other so well, I do think that factors into some of this stuff. But we should have won the game yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and tell you we should not have. This was not a game we were outplayed. We should have won the game, and we blew it with blown opportunities. Let's hear from Coach after the game with our own Dave Archer.
Obviously disappointing outcome, Raheem. Your first thoughts about the game?
You know, you don't get the results you want, but obviously they outplayed us today. They came out with the increased urgency we talked about. It took us too long to get started. We got going and thought we had a chance to close that game, but they made plays at the end of the game to win it, and they deserved it. Great job by those guys.
Always been one of the toughest places to play from a crowd noise standpoint. Anything that kind of comes to mind there, maybe a couple of those guys got quick starts against the offensive tackles?
Yeah, it's a great place to play. Yeah. I mean, these guys, these fans, these people, they do a great job for their community. They do a great job for their team. And we'll never make those excuses. It's like that in any hostile environment, and we got to protect better at the end down stretch there.
You really got some things done defensively in the second half. Looked like you made some adjustments. You really limited. I think you limited them 100 yards. I think they had four consecutive three and outs in the second half.
Well, what a great job by those guys giving us a chance. You know, we came out flat early. They were able to get some passes off on us. We got it going. We picked it up, really cranked it up, gave our chance to win at the end of the game, getting the ball back for our offense. We're not able to close it out.
All right, thanks for your time, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, nobody scores in the fourth, Mike. I mean, that's what's crazy about this game. They didn't score in the fourth, but neither did we.
That's just it. And the defense did get the ball back and gave us so many opportunities, holding them to field goals and those three and outs that Arch just mentioned talking to Coach. So the offense it felt like in the third quarter, like, okay, here we go. The completion to Pitts, the Bijan touchdown, and like Saints fans are like totally silent.
Yes.
Okay, the worm has turned. And then unfortunately, after that touchdown, we get the punt, and then we punt. And they punt, and then we miss a field goal. And then, as you said, we've already covered Younghoe Koo. The 9 points covers it. 6 points covers it.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at this. It's crazy. We outscore them in the third, and then nobody scores in the fourth quarter. And nobody scored in the first. I mean, this is a weird game. They didn't score any points in the first, and neither did we. And yet we got off to a slower start simply because we couldn't do anything in that first quarter as far as moving the football. Let's hear from Caden Ellis. He had another good game, and he continues to show up, man. Four tackles. I think he had six assisted on the game. And Mike, we talk about those turnovers. You know, we had two fumbles. Cousins did. We didn't lose them, but those were the fumbles that we ultimately recovered. But this was one of those games where you would have loved to have gotten one of those interceptions or, you know, a big turnover. And it really didn't happen. The defense got off the field. But that kind of always negates the sack thing that we talk about. It didn't play out that way yesterday. Let's hear from Caden Ellis after the game with Dave Archer.
Joined here now by John Foy, strong arm defensive player of the game. Caden Ellis led the team in tackles with 10. Tough one today, wasn't it? They got the run game going cranked up a little bit on you guys early on. What was going on?
Yeah, you know, that was a tough one. Obviously, they've got some talented runners, yeah. Especially 41-7. You know, very talented, powerful runners. And, you know, 7's type of guy that if he sees a crease, he can, you know, blow it open. And 41's the type that if he sees a crease, he can slip through it. So, you know, you always got to be dialed in and on your P's and Q's with them. And You know, today they were able to get it going early. We played much better in the second half in that aspect. Didn't really allow them to get any four-minute drives going. But you got to come out ready. You got to come out hot. And then that can be the difference of the game.
You guys did an excellent job. You just mentioned in the second half. I don't know what adjustments or whether it was just changing the attitude or whatever it was. You tell me. But I think they had four consecutive three and outs. I think 100 yards of offense in the second half.
Yeah, and that's the type of thing you want to do the whole game. And obviously, you know, credit to them. They made some plays early on that, you know, that happened in the first half is what it is, but that's the type of performance you want on defense, and you know, you just got to play complimentary football, and we need to have our guys back no matter what's going on every side of the ball, and we need to do our part. So I got to come out hotter next time.
Well, we're human beings. That's, you know, you ebb and flow, and sometimes attitudes change in over time in a game. But tell me about that as a veteran player. You guys had a moment maybe a little bit against Seattle, a moment here in the first half. How do you prevent those from happening to keep you guys, keep things from not developing the way you want to?
I think it always goes back to your weekly preparation, your weekly process, and then really it comes down to your willpower, your belief, what you've put in, and the work you've put in, and how much you believe in yourself, your teammates, the people around you. And that's why I think the leaders, and we're blessed to have such great leaders on this team to, you know, right the ship, turn it around, get going. And, you know, there's going to be lessons learned throughout the season. Every season you have, there's going to be lessons learned in different games. Now, you want to learn those lessons with a W, but, you know, it is what it is with this one. We lost. Time to, you know, learn the lessons, take the lessons, and get ready for Denver.
Yeah, I know you want to win, but this is our strong arm defensive player of the game. 10 tackles for Caden Ellis. Another good job of leading his team. Thanks, bud.
Thank you.
Yeah, I said six. He had four solos, six assisted. That equals 10 on the day, which is why he was the player of the game with Arch. I'm with him on this, man, as far as, you know, the mindset and all of that. I know it's disappointing for him because he wanted to go back. He's, you know, he came here from New Orleans, right. And we talked about that whole thing that had happened last year, which, again, doesn't have anything to do with this year's New Orleans team. It's just from an organizational standpoint. Anytime we can rub it in their face, I want to do it.
Right.
And when they can rub it in our face, they want to do it. And so, you know, guys feel that. But that's going to have to wait because now this is over. We're done with New Orleans. Mike, I don't think they're a playoff team. I do not think this buzz or juice that you talked about last, you can get that for 1 week.
Right.
And Ra talked about that to us last week about it's what they make of it. But you can't sustain that for six or seven or eight more weeks.
No, it's a nice story for the special team coach to get his final opportunity. He'd coached some smaller schools in the college ranks and lower divisions, but the first time to be head coach in the NFL, it was big. I mean, he's looking like a special teams coach, making crazy facial expressions, and like wearing his heart on his sleeve. But they went out there and they got the dub. But you're right. Look, it's no consolation that we had more passing yards. I still think we could have ran the ball all day long. We could have run for even more yards and maybe, you know, still found a way to win the football game without throwing as much as we did because we have that ability. We have that versatility with our game plan. But you got to make plays. And as we said, some of the penalties, some were just ticky-tack. Some were not. Like, for instance, when Lindstrom falls forward, they call him for an illegal low block, like a chop block. No, he just got pushed. He fell.
Yeah, he fell.
And, you know, you can argue and say, look, I fell. But they didn't. There were a lot of things that just didn't go our way. But we did not take advantage of the breaks. And Arch talked about it with Caden Ellis. You get the ball back, you completely stymied the Saints in the second half, and our offense couldn't do jack. And when you did move the ball, then Younghoe Koo couldn't give you any kind of payoff.
It's true. 404-726-0929. This hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.